This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 7, Episode 12. G'day, Pitch Vision. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we help a young cricketer in Australia with off-season training. We also talk about what a par score really is these days, and if you can even set one. And there's a young pace bowler who's bowling wides and no balls. Can we help him out? Listen in to this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show to find out. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to better cricket. It doesn't matter who you are and it doesn't matter where you are. We are here to help you out as best we can. My name's David Hinchcliffe, I look after things here. And helping me to help you are two very fine cricket coaches. The first is the Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garris.
How are we all?
Very good, yeah. Wonderful cricket with the West Indies. The result of the World 2020, of course, was what a fantastic game.
Yeah, it was. I was sitting in St. Lucia, just as I am now, surrounded by West Indians. We thought it was all great fun. I enjoyed the first game a lot more than the second, I'll be honest with you. What a finish. Incredible game of cricket. I'd say probably the best World Cup final that I've seen, because I just thought it ebbed and flowed throughout. Absolute drama. And for it to finish in the way it finished was quite remarkable. But, you know, I've been involved in games against the West Indies where they look dead and buried, and then all of a sudden they come through and it happened again.
Yeah. Second of all, it's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
Pretty good, you know, considering, you know, the team that I follow got blasted for 4 sixes in the last over. And you can't really complain too much, can you, about that? Because, wow.
Yeah, not really. I don't really know where the complaints should lie, really. I actually didn't like the setup for the first ball of the last over, but I wouldn't have complained about how Ben Stokes bowled it massively. Didn't get it perfect, but bloody good hitting, wasn't it?
No, oh, yes. It's very easy to be critical without thinking. You know, he still had to hit those sixes, didn't he? You know, in the last over of a final, that takes something, doesn't it? You know, so. More than something, a lot. So,
absolutely.
Well done, the West Indies.
But he's a big lad, isn't he?
He's a big lad, yeah. That's for
he
sure.
Is a big lad.
He is a big lad, that is for sure.
One of the things that came up in the World 2020 was an article from Jared Kimber about some of the things that have worked in the World 2020. Of course, it's always interesting to see what works and how things have changed and developed between these kind of tournaments. And one of the things that interested me was this idea of the par score, and how it's so often what we think is a par score is completely wrong, that it almost makes it pointless, completely pointless. What do we think about the concept of having a par score? How useful is it really? It's nice to have an idea, but it's wrong so often. How useful is it really? And if it's not that useful, what can we do instead?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I'm a bit flippant when it comes to par scores, I'll be honest. And whenever anybody says to me, you know, what's a good score on here, I always go 600, because that is a good score anywhere.
Agreed. And it's like your 200 mile an hour leg breaks.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm with him on that, because the game of cricket is so weird, isn't it? You know, you think back to that game where South Africa chased down 422. You know, that's nearly 10 years ago, and nobody gave him a cat and hell's chance. But because cricket is played by human beings, and you know, there are so many variables in there, I think anything can be chased, because the mindset that goes with chasing a big score, if you look at England against South Africa in their group game, you know, that was out of reach, but it wasn't, because the mindset tells you you've just got to go for it. You're either going to get bowled out for 130 having a good old dart at it, or you're going to knock them off. And I'm a massive a massive believer in, as soon as you get tied into thinking how many do I need to get to be par, I think it affects the way you go about it. And just go out there and play as good a cricket as you can, adjust to the conditions on that day, because history is history, but it doesn't mean to say that it's the same bowlers, it's the same ball, it's the same climatic conditions, it's the same pitch, it's the same outfield length, same wind direction. It doesn't tell you that. It just gives you a guide, and just go out there and score as many as you can, and then do your best to defend it. And that's what people have done for millions of years, and I love it.
That's a great piece of advice. And as many as you can is a difficult thing to, when a batsman is out in the middle, to think. Is it useful to think, okay, well, you know, where I'm scoring here, I feel like I could score more quickly, or I'm trying to score more quickly and I'm taking too many risks. Obviously in 2020, that's less of an issue, but it's balance, you know, finding a way to balance it out. Is there, you know, do you set small, shorter targets? Are you constantly reviewing things, or do you just, you really just take numbers out the window and go, well, let's just keep going and see how many we can get?
I'd just be thinking a lot of the time, how many can I score off this ball? How many can I score? What's the highest score I can possibly get? You do have to take into account that the risk reward factor. So what's the risk of this of taking this on, and what's the game situation? But ultimately you're thinking, can I hit a ball for six? And I think that's one of the things that the West Indies do pretty well sometimes, is that they play quite a simple game, where if they can hit it for six, they generally try and hit it for six, and they kind of move between not lots and lots of different methods of scoring runs, but it's kind of it's either a rebuilding phase or it's putting the foot down. And there's not masses and masses of different ranges in between, whereas other players and potentially players who are more skillful might have lots more different gears in between, which as these scores go up and pitches improve and batters' understanding ability to kind of clear the ropes and hit a long ball improves, which it definitely has done over the last 5 years, then I guess maybe we want to kind of bypass some of those skills or gears we've got between first and second gear and fifth and sixth, and trying to find the quickest way to sixth gear is what we're looking for.
So the tone I'm getting here is that it's almost as if you don't want to be setting targets at all. Or have I gone too far with that?
No, I think you can do when you're chasing. It's a hell of a lot easier. I think it's an unbelievable skill to be able to line it all up, particularly at the top level of a game, maybe so a little bit easier at club level, but where you can line it up and go, right, you know, this pitch is a 180 pitch, or this pitch is a 190 pitch, and this is how we go about it. I think that's really tough. Saying that, my dad, every time I went out to bat with him in a game of club cricket, he'd be on, I don't know, 35, 40 not out, and he'd stay as soon as I walked in, right, we need to get to 175, because if we get to 175, we'll win by 30. And he'd be pretty close every time. So there are people who can do it. But I think at the top level of a game, with the way that the game's going now, you've just got to try and get as many as you can. And it sounds really easy, but you get bogged down with trying to play for a certain number. And I think the game's changed from when I played with my dad, where, you know, the ceiling of what can be chased and the ceiling of what is possible is shifted. And it's not just shifted at the top end of a game, it's also shifted at club level. And we see that week in, week out, when the scores come through on the Premier Leagues, and even, you know, even in schools cricket, we see as well, you know, you see some incredible run chases that would have never have been possible years ago. And that's a mindset thing. That's because they see people on the telly doing it, they practice it, and away you go. I also think, you know, that it's so much easier chasing, because you can break it up into those bits you talk about, but to project those bits without having the end result in your mind being that number and seeing somebody go about putting that score together in the first innings is very, very difficult.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we're doing away with what's a good score then. That's definitely going out the window.
600, I've told you. I told you at the start.
Well, it's... It's pretty tough when a guy can come in. And what number was Brathwaite batting? Was he batting nine?
Was he eight, wasn't he? Eight or nine?
Eight. Well, if your number eight can hit four sixes in a row, you've got to accept that at some stage a guy in the top four is going to hit 15 sixes in 20 balls, and it's going to happen. So, yeah, is 600 a good score?
Yeah, it is at the moment.
Yeah, agreed. It is at the moment. But in 10 years' time, we might be back to par again.
Yeah, but I think, you know, those conversations on balconies and in the pavilions are really dangerous where you go, oh, what's a good score here? And that's why I say it, is because I don't want people to get into a mindset of, oh, let's fiddle around here, let's do this, let's do that. Just go out and play.
It's almost people are settling then, aren't they?
Yeah, big time, big time. And it might impede what you're going about. So, yeah, I mean, people might think that sounds a bit flippant, but I've always said 600, and until somebody gets 600, I might have to change my number then, won't I?
Okay, let's wrap up this section with the yes-no round. Three questions that can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more that the team want to say. I've got the questions, so let's fire away. First question, avoid the bowling machine if your problem is picking line and length.
Yes.
Yes.
Second question, measure success by how well you prepared.
Yes.
Yeah.
Third question, Kohli is the best limited overs finisher ever.
Yes.
No. Oh.
The time now for us to answer listeners' questions. And what's happened here is a couple of you have sent in those questions to us, and we're going to try and answer them. And then we decide on the best question of the week, which is a prize, which is an online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send your questions in to us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. And we'll give you some more details on how to get in touch with us at the end of the show. But until then, we've got the questions this week. Tommy sent one in. And Tommy said, I believe he might be an Aussie from the start of this email. Tommy says, good day, Pitch Vision.
Excellent.
I need help.
Will you do that one again?
What's that?
The good day, Pitch Vision. I just enjoyed it.
Okay. Good day, Pitch Vision. I won't do the accent. I need help on doing a pre-season in Australia. I don't want to have hits in the nets because I'm not going to improve. So is there any drills that will help me improve? I want to still be hitting balls, but if I just keep getting the side on off my dad, I'm not going to improve. So how can I improve? Thanks, hope to hear back, Tommy. So what do we got for Tommy?
Well, the answer is yes, and your dad's sidearm is absolutely a crucial part of the process of developing yourself as a batter, Tommy. And I'm really going to give you the process rather than some specific drills. And then maybe Sam can talk about some specific drills. But the process that I go down is something that was given to me by a guy called Chris Smith, who opened the batting for Hampshire many, many years ago. Robin Smith's brother, who played for England. In fact, Chris played a little bit for England. And the way that he went about his practice, which I think is spot on, is that he used drills to develop his skills. So he would do underarm feeds. He would, you know, if he was having wanted to develop a sweep shot, he'd put a ball on a tee and he'd just start hitting stationary balls to start off. And then he'd layer them up and he'd get somebody to drop feed it for him so he could hit it, and then get somebody to feed to him with tennis balls and he could hit it. And then he'd get somebody to overarm feed to him hitting cricket balls, and then he'd get that. And once he'd got to that stage, then he would use nets or bowling machine, or in your case, sidearm. With your dad, to just check whether those drills that he'd picked up in stationary and underarm and bobble feeds and drop feeds actually stand up in a match situation. And really what sidearm is and nets are is the dress rehearsal. That's what we use those for. It's a dress rehearsal for the big stage. A bit like if you learn any lines, you do all your learning your lines at a theatre show. You learn them on your own, doing your underarm drills. That's your learning your lines. Then you take it to the net where you do your dress rehearsal, where you get out all the glitches and see whether it works. Every little line, every little thing works when you're in those nets. And then the cricket match is the big stage. It's the opening night. It's the matinee in the afternoon on a Saturday. And you get it right out there and you show off. So that's the process for me. And I think your dad's sidearm and nets come in the second part of that process, which is, which is the dress rehearsal. So to me, have a look at your game, have a chat with your dad, and pick out two or three shots that you think would be absolutely brilliant for your game. Maybe even start with just one at the moment, which is the thing that you want to develop now, which is going to make an impact in the future. Then you can do your drills, which could be bobble feeds or whatever, tennis ball drills, to start that process. Always layer those up. Then when you're ready, go to the nets, go to your dad on sidearm, and that will tell you whether those drills are ready then to go to the next level and show off on the pitch. So it's more of a process from me. I'm sure Sam can put some flesh on the bones in terms of drills.
Yeah, for me, it's about going in there with a specific goal in mind, and that's just really just echoing what you've said, Gareth. In that, if you go in with a specific goal in mind, rather than going and right, I'm gonna get my dad to throw to me for a bit and see how many I can hit and see how many he beats me, that's less useful than okay, I'm gonna work on this specific thing, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'd completely agree. I think we need to just have a little bit of reflection, and presumably he's at a stage, and obviously we're basing a lot of this on the fact that he will have just finished his season. So he's in a great opportunity now where he can get on with his review processes really and start thinking about what's just happened, and he's probably just had 5 or 6 months of cricket, which is you would imagine gone quite well given the way his questioning is. He's not talking about issues he's having with his game. He's not talking about the problems that have occurred throughout the season. He's looking forwards. So probably before he looks forwards, I just think a little bit about looking backwards and reflecting on what's happened, and when he's done well, what's been great for him. When he's struggled, where are those areas been? And from there, can he start to put together a bit of a list of objectives of where he does want to improve, and he's in a great position now because it'll be fresh in his mind. It's not long since they'll have finished the season out there, presumably he has just about finished. So he's in a great position where he can start making that list. And as you said, David, once you've got that list in place of those two or three shots or that style of play that you maybe want to introduce, or trying to create a certain situation or play on a certain surface or something that's going to be specific to increasing your performance from what it was last season to what it's going to be next season, then you're in a much better place, and you can start going through that process, as Gareth has mentioned there, where you can move from installing those new shots and those new movements at a very simple level, and then getting ready for the big stage. So, get your review process done now, and once you've done that, you can start setting those goals.
Yeah, and it's hard to get specific with drills, I suppose, until we know exactly what he feels like he can do. Although, is there anything general, any general sort of off-season things, if you had a blank canvas, if someone came to you and said, I don't know what to work on, and you've never seen him before, where, you know, what general, it's really hard to answer that question, but what general sort of direction can we point someone in?
Go on, Gareth.
I was just going to really say that your fundamentals are having a good straight drive is a good fundamental, because if you've got a good drive, you can orientate that drive through cover, through backward point, straight down the ground, through mid on, through wide mid wicket. And you know, if I look at somebody like Joe Root's drive now, he basically does that, doesn't he? You know, he can drive a ball from anywhere in front of point all the way around to sort of just to the right hand side of mid on. So if you get your drive going well, and you can do that, you know, even from static balls, sitting them on top of tees and getting people to feed back into you, you can chuck a ball up against the wall and it come back to you, and you can work on your drives. Those are all those drills, I suppose, that we're talking about in the first phase of that process that we've given. So that's always a good fundamental, because from that drive, there's a defensive shot, because all that changes is the intention of a shot, really. So that would be a good starting point. To me, a pull shot is absolutely essential. At the top end of a game, there have been very, very few great players who haven't had the ability to play a pull shot. And again, you can do exactly the same. I used to develop mine from chucking a ball up against the wall. It would come back to me and I'd hit it into another wall. And then it would bounce back, and I'd just keep repeating that process. If you get somebody to throw to you, that's fantastic. You can now get batting tees, baseball batting tees that elevate the ball to a height that you can hit the ball off the top of those. So there's lots of stuff that you can be doing in that first phase. But those two would always be my my starting point, really, for any development, particularly with younger players. If you've got those two in tow, then you're going to be fairly difficult to bowl at.
Do you ever come across the cricket garras that comes in and has all the shots, or they think they have all the shots? You get the young boy who walks in and says he's completed cricket, that kind of thing.
Yeah, if you occasionally you come across those. I've got a couple of guys that are close to having that this week. Actually, we were out in St. Lucia, and we got some boys that have had loads of coaching. Andrew Strauss and myself are out here, and there's a couple of boys that are close to that, but they've not been tested, really. Those shots haven't been tested. They can do the backyard stuff. And the reason being is that they haven't layered the skills enough. So they haven't challenged those skills enough. If I was to do a bobble feed, they'd hit a straight drive. If I was to do an underarm feed from a short pitch length, they'd play the pull and what have you. But all you do is you just keep increasing the challenge until it's a little bit too much. Then you work your way back and go, right, okay, how do I need to develop this? And then you build it up again. And every time you beat each layer, every time you achieve each layer, your confidence improves and your competence improves. And that's where we've taken these kids this week, which has been really, really good fun. So hopefully they go back with a more robust version of all of those shots. But it is rare, isn't it, Sam? If I look at young cricketers coming to our school, most of them can't play a cut shot. You know, it's a difficult shot to play. So, by the time they leave, you hope that they've got that at a high level. Because most of the time their drives are pretty good. You know, you don't get too far in cricket at young ages without having a decent drive, and most of them have got that when they pitch up.
I agree, actually, there. You do see that young cricket is a driving game, then it becomes a drive-pull game, doesn't it? And then that cut shot has to come in, and managing the shorter, faster ball becomes a bigger part of the game. I guess as they get to kind of 15 and 16, that becomes a really valuable area. But it is a tool that kind of that's overlooked and for obvious reasons at time with the lack of pace on the ball. But it's often underprepared when guys are at 14 and 15 years old.
I think one of the things that I've picked up from Graham Thorpe is that, and it's a brilliant point that he makes, is that just because you're not being exposed to it in the game, in the gameplay that you're having because of the pitches or because of the pace of the bowlers that you're facing, that's not a reason to not practice that, because you're going to have to use it at some point. And in fact, it's probably more of a reason for us to be working with 7 and 8 year olds on having the ball coming around their ears, because if we load them up the front end, at some point the game is going to catch up and have to have that in place. Well, why can't we develop them to get used to the ball flying around their ears? So when they get to that point, they just go bang, as opposed to get to that point freezing, and then you have to build it up from a point of no confidence.
Absolutely.
So I'm a big fan of that.
Bit of proactive coaching rather than reactive.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that is quite a comprehensive answer. So let's move on to our next question. And it's from Ntando, and Ntando says, oh, he's got a real problem here. Let's see if we can help him out. Hi, sir. I'm 16-year-old front-on pace bowler who's struggling with wides and no balls. Please help. I have trials in 2 months. This desperation sounds like it's kicking in there. What can we do from afar?
It does sound a bit desperate, doesn't it? But 2 months is a bit of time, and I've seen a lot of good cricketers still add quite a bit to what they've got in a couple of months' time, and a lot of guys that maybe are a little bit off the pace, but give them 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, there's still a lot of improvement that can be made. So the first thing would be, don't panic. We've probably got to go a little bit back to that review process we were talking about slightly with the previous question from Tommy, that why we need to identify why we're bowling wides and why we're bowling no balls. Well, we're bowling no balls presumably because there's a level of inconsistency in our run-up, and now I'm guessing we're thinking front foot no balls rather than waist-high full tosses and that kind of thing, but I might be wrong there. So first of all, can we focus on a little bit of consistency in how we approach the crease? It might be that if we're inconsistent in the length of our run-up, then we're also inconsistent in the line of our run-up, and that could be something that directly links into the direction of the ball and why we're bowling wides as well. So have a little look at your action, or get someone to have a look at you bowling in terms of the way you run, where you start your run-up from, where you move, how fast you move, where you arrive at the crease, those kind of things. And if you can film it, then that's a really, really good tool. So grab your smartphone, whatever you've got, film a ball, and you can start to draw using like the Pitch Vision app, which is free, I think, isn't it, Dave?
Absolutely.
You can grab your Pitch Vision app, and you can just mark on there where you're running through. So you can mark your running line, and you can have a look at that. Is it consistent over a period of five or six balls? Then you can look at how you're jumping and these different things, all which are leading into the action. And it might be something as simple as that your action's pretty consistent in what it's doing. However, the way you're arriving in the action, in terms of pace and direction, is maybe something that isn't quite as consistent. So I would say my first port of call, given the no balls is in there, would be look at how you're approaching the crease and see if you can be a bit more repetitive in how that happens. And if you can do, then you can start worrying about the action and what's going on with the arms and the legs up there.
I would add to that, it's also worth thinking about what you're doing when it goes right. Because when you've got a problem, especially if it's a problem where you've got a deadline that you're working towards, you can often focus so hard on the problem that you forget that you do get it right as well, quite a lot. So when you get it right, have a think about what's happening when you're getting it right.
And he must have got it right at some point, exactly. Eh? Because he's going to trials in a couple of months' time. So... I think that's such a valuable thing that you just mentioned there. It's often we get to these positions where we're not bowling well and we might be overstepping, and we try and reinvent the wheel. Well, the fact is that you've already done it before. So, you know, recall back. And this is where some of that sort of visualization, recalling successes, is really powerful, not just from a confidence point of view, where visualization is used a lot of the time, but also from just checking and challenging your own techniques, because by replaying them in your head, by really associating into that experience that you had when you got it absolutely spot on, can often knock people technically back into their grooves that they've already established themselves. And that's massively important. So I think, you know, when I talk about association, it's about replaying in your head that day where you nailed it, where your rhythm was fantastic, where you hit the crease at the right speed, where the ball came out and just went exactly where you wanted it to, and you had some success, and really almost, you know, see the same images you saw on that day, you know, try and get the same smells that you got from the ground, the same noises. And the more you can tap into that, the more likely you are to feel confident, because this is a little bit of a confidence thing I'm suggesting. And then also B, you'll find that there'll be some technical knock-ons back into those grooves that you've already created for yourself in previous performance.
Now that was a pretty comprehensive question section this week, but we've still got time for 1 minute from Sam Lavery on any topic that he chooses. He can't be interrupted by us. You're on the Soapbox Lavers, over to you.
One of the things we're doing now is, as along with a lot of cricketers, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, is they're starting to go outside again. And lots of people are going back to the same ground, same field they've used for the last however many years. And one thing I'm trying to do now is look at the field, and rather than going automatically back into our same patterns, setting things up in the same place, we've obviously got our nets in a certain area, but you do certain drills in certain areas, is just looking at the field again, looking at the space we've got and thinking about how we can use that space a little bit more creatively and a little bit more effectively. It's very easy to slip back into the same pattern that you've had before, but ultimately, there's always going to be an improvement you can make. So have a look around, look at what space you've got, think about what you'd like to have in your training sessions, and think about how most effectively you can use that space, how you can get the most out of the time you have within it, and how you can make your practice sessions as effective as possible, because it's your first session outside, and what you start with, the standard you set from the beginning, will be what follows after that.
And that is the end of the show for this week. We are going to leave you in a moment, but before we do, we just need to let you know the winner of this week's competition. That is the online coaching course from PitchVision at pitchvision.com. So, Gareth, we had a couple of pretty good questions this week. Tommy's question about improving in the off-season and Intando's question about struggling with wides and no balls. Which one did you prefer this week?
Well, to me, it was a no-brainer at the beginning. Just the good day got me, and I was all over it for Tommy's question from that point. But I think we've gone to proper detail there. I think we've nailed that, lads. And we can only nail our answers if the questions are good, can't we? So,
correct.
But this week, I'm going to stick with Tommy's. I thought it was a great question. We went through a good process, and hopefully, we've given some ideas, not just to him, but to many others that have listened in.
Yeah, well done, Tommy. You can claim your course. Gareth, if someone wanted to send in their question to us and have it answered and also win the chance for the prize like Tommy had, how could they reach out?
They could give us a call, David, on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. Social media is also available. Facebook is facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy and Twitter is @pitchvisionacad. You can listen to the show every week by going to your favourite podcast app and searching for Pitch Vision Academy. You'll find us in there, no problem. And if you want to go to the Pitch Vision website, pitchvision.com/academy, and click on the podcast link, you'll get show notes. You can stream the show online or you can subscribe directly to the feed in there, whatever you want to do. It's all good by us. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, guys.